This sermon today is for Third Easter, which is April 26th. Let me begin with the collect for the day. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The gospel, interesting enough, which I'm about to read to you, is the same gospel that we used last Wednesday, not this past Wednesday, but this Wednesday before. It's the story of the road to Emmaus from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. It reads like this. Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Let us pray. Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us. Speak to us through the scriptures. Speak to us through our families. Speak to us through all that we are in. But help us to come out of that speaking with the eyes of faith, to see really what's going on, and not to miss your hand at work in the world about us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. You know, I have to say that's really kind of interesting. You know, there are many ministries that I'm aware of you know, throughout the church and throughout the years. One of the ministries that's always sort of been interesting to me is the ministry of the Gideons. The Gideons, you know, pray for pastors and pray for churches on a regular basis. It's a group of men to get together. But what they do that they're noted for more than anything else is they actually, you know, with monies that they have collected, go out and buy Bibles. And they place Bibles in many different locations, one of which is in motel rooms. Motel rooms. In fact, if you go into any motel, usually, you'll see a Bible in the drawer of the nightstand, usually, and it says the Gideon Society on it. It reminds me of an old sort of joke that I heard a while back that actually comes. It says, do you know the definition of mixed emotions? The definition of mixed emotions is when your daughter comes home with a Gideon Bible under her arm. You don't know what to think. You know, when you look at the gospel today, I really believe that at least in the beginning, and actually as it goes along, it's an illustration of mixed emotions. Mixed emotions. I mean, here the two disciples, Cleopas and the other person, are walking along the road for 7 miles with Jesus. They don't recognize him. It says they're kept from recognizing him. It doesn't mean that Jesus has kept them from recognizing him. It's just for some reason, maybe depression, maybe some other reason, they can't recognize him. Jesus wants to draw them out. So he asks a lot of questions initially. What's going on in Jerusalem? You know, what do you mean? And they express their hopes that their understanding that Jesus was the Messiah, as they're talking to Jesus but don't recognize him, that he would actually redeem Israel. They had a picture of what that meant in their minds. Redeem Israel. It says that after Jesus has asked the questions, they've expressed where they're at, and their emotions are very low, and they see life as it's just all falling apart. Our hopes are dashed. That Jesus then unfolds to them through the scriptures all that was supposed to take place in the Messiah. To give the real understanding of what Moses and the prophets had laid out that they had misunderstood. As they approach Emmaus, where they're going to be, they are going to stop for this evening, but it appears as if Jesus is going to go on, and they urge him to stay. And then when he sits down with them, for some reason, Jesus, not that they've recognized him as yet, shares a meal with him, breaks bread. When he breaks the bread, after he's blessed it, they recognize him, and then he disappears. They immediately run back, and when they come back and find the 11, presumably in the upper room, they're told that Jesus has appeared to Simon. Now, they knew that Jesus, somehow his resurrection or his fact that he was missing had been announced to the women. They knew that on the road. When they were still sad, they had taken what they had actually seen, the crucifixion. They had taken the information, their understanding of what the scripture had said about what was going to go on, and their understanding of what redemption of Israel would be, which was incorrect. And they had also taken in the fact that the women had seen Jesus, or had seen the angels to say that Jesus had resurrected. They didn't buy it. Why was it that they didn't buy That part of the story, the eyewitness of the story of the women, but they did buy. All my hopes haven't been fulfilled. Why is it that we as human beings sort of are, you know, people who, you got to show me before I'm going to believe? Lo and behold, Cleopas and the other person who, which, you know, I've always joked, it's probably my name or your name, are shown because Jesus revealed to them as he breaks bread with them. He's been there the whole time, all 7 miles, and they don't recognize him, but they do then. I wonder how many of us feel abandoned by God so often. Get frustrated with our own selves. Get our emotions all mixed up. Mixed emotions. All mixed up because we think that somehow this is so bad. My life is so bad. It's so terrible. This isn't the way it was supposed to play out. This isn't the way it was supposed to lead. And so therefore we miss God's hand at work in the world about us when he's been active, present every step of the way. God is always active in our lives. And it's not that he is keeping himself from us, it's that we can't see him. And the moment we realize we can't see them, that is the beginning to where we say, okay, then show me yourself because I'm having a hard time seeing you. It's getting things out of the way that have distracted us from the presence of God. Because we have put those other things as more important than the presence of God. It doesn't mean that you don't experience emotions. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be sad. But even in the midst of sadness, you can see God. I just got off the phone not too long ago with a woman who lost her husband last night. They were both 93 years old. Her husband died yesterday evening. And when I got on the phone with her this morning, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know. She didn't want to talk last night, so I didn't call her after her daughter had notified me that, you know, the daughter's father, which is the husband of the woman I called this morning, had died. She said she didn't want to talk, and so I called this morning. 93 years old. She was as sharp as a tack. She knew exactly who I was, and she said, "Oh, I'm so glad you called me. My husband and I had such a wonderful life, and we'll have more." There was a sense of joy in her that even though she had lost the man that, as she put it, we got to know each other when we were 15 years old. That's longer than a 7-mile walk. We got to know each other for all these years, over 70 years. And yet she knew she was still connected. She knew God had not abandoned her. She knew God was at work. She knew that was there. And it was because even in the midst of things that sometimes fall apart, she didn't have a plan of the way it had to go for her. She simply could fall into the plan that God had for her. And yes, there was grief. Yes, there was sadness. But in the midst of the sadness, there was joy. In the midst of the loss, there was gain. In the midst of the brokenness, there was a wholeness that went way beyond anything we could imagine. I'll be up front with you. The conversation kicked me in the teeth. Here we are in the middle of a pandemic. You know, we get information from some folks who are saying, well, we need to open up for the economy. Well, that might be true. There's other people saying, oh, no, we've got to stay down because it's going to spike again. It's going to grow. I don't know about you, but that brings me into mixed emotions. But the one thing that I know for a fact is that God will guide me through those mixed emotions. And that if I look at Him and look for Him, even if I'm self-isolating, I won't be alone, because God's present with each and every one of us. See, the good news is don't lose hope. The sun will come up in the morning. There will be storms. There will be difficulties. But God, the God that we have, is so wonderful. Just don't plan your day, even if you want to make God laugh, because planning your day probably will get changed in the plans. Because God has something great for you, better than you could plan. God is with you. And even though our emotions take us into rocky seas, who we sail with is solid. It's in the name of Jesus that we always pray. Amen.